We are Flickerbrack. Your opinion is irrelevant.
Hi there, this is Darren Blake, and somehow you've stumbled upon Flickerbrack, the completely egocentric podcast where your opinion doesn't matter. This podcast is recorded in front of a live audience. And every last one of them is ignoring me because they're so focused on attaining those 50,000 elusive words. We do this show Saturdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, at TalkShoe.com, where you can find a multitude of live talkcasts on a variety of topics. If you happen to be in the chat room with us, or if you're streaming along through one of the TalkShoe badges out there on the interwebs, you can call in. The number to do that is 724-444-7444. The call ID is 35274, and you don't even have to be a TalkShoe member, as guest 8 can attest. If you'd like to be part of this crazy mixed-up chat room, you can go to tinyurl.com/flickerbrack. First off, I do want to wish a very happy belated birthday to my movie partner. He is also my spoiler alert co-conspirator, if you've ever checked out that podcast, Lazy T. His birthday was on Tuesday, and I didn't even bother to acknowledge it on Thursday when we went to the movies. Teehee. Because I'm evil. But happy birthday, Lazy T, even though you'll never listen to this. National Novel Writing Month goes through next weekend. By the end of writing tonight, November 22nd, you should have 36,667 words. I'm not going to ask for a progress report right now because, since NaNoWriMo is the topic tonight, I'll ask you for your progress report then.
Oh, look, it's the Hogwarts letters.
I got a voicemail today. Last minute. I don't know what it says. I know who it's from because I listened just long enough to hear her voice. It's Rachel. But you knew that, right?
Hey, Flick. It's Rachel calling in feedback on your Whoopi Goldberg show. I have to say that I haven't seen enough of her work to be as enthusiastic about it as, say, you and Terry are. A lot of the movies and whatnot you were listing, I was like, okay, never seen that, nope, never seen that, nope, never seen that. I have enjoyed things that I've seen her in. Really liked her in Ghost. I remember seeing The Color Purple and enjoying it. It's been way too long, though. Enjoyed her work in The Lion King. I find her stand-up to be funny. Let's see. Oh, I did really like her as Guinan on Star Trek The Next Generation. That's probably my favorite thing that she's done. But yeah, I don't love her like you guys do, but I do like her. So that's all I had to say. Not really that much. Okay, bye.
Rachel's so nice. She sends a... See, this is why I like getting these in time to be able to listen to them ahead of time so that I can formulate responses. Thanks so much, Rachel. I'm glad that you enjoy Whoopi Goldberg when you get a chance to see her. And I heart Whoopi Goldberg, but you already knew that. Yeah, winging it is not my friend. Last minute voicemails. What can you do? It is how she says, however, at least she sent something. And I'm glad that she did. That was Rachel, host of the Sims 2 Challenges podcast, right here at TalkShoe.com. Call ID 5905 and one of the three amazingly fun hosts of Girls Night In Radio, GirlsNightInRadio.com. Both podcasts are very much worth listening to. And if you're not listening to them, go do it now. They are fun. I did get an email, but that is being saved for the main topic because it directly applies blah, 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 blah. But you knew that too. If you would like to send feedback, I would love to hear from you. You can send an email to flickerbrack@gmail.com. That's flickerbrack@gmail.com. Or you can call the voicemail line, like Rachel does, 206-350-2310. That phone line is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I will play your calls right here on the show. Next week has a holiday here in the United States, and therefore, movies are being released on Wednesday, November 26th, instead of Friday, November 28th. The Transporter 3 stars Jason Statham. I think the Transporter is transporting a person this time, but I'm not sure. But I also really don't care because it's Jason Statham. As long as punches are being thrown and butts are being kicked, I'm pretty sure I'm going to like it. Unless it's like Crank, in which case there's going to be so much herky-jerky and can't see what's going on stuff going on that I won't like it so much. Four Christmases stars Reese Witherspoon and Vince Vaughn. A husband and wife duo manage to skip out on the holidays every year. But when their families see them while the TV news is covering a mass airline cancellation, there is no escape for them. They must have Christmas with all four of their divorced parents. It's not fun. Australia stars Nicole Kidman and Hugh Jackman. This is the story of a ranch in Australia prior to World War II, and the aristocrat who must save it from a takeover plot. In limited release, we have Milk, with Sean Penn, Josh Brolin, and Emile Hirsch. The landmark 1977 decision to make an openly gay man San Francisco's city supervisor leads to some major drama. Maybe that's why Gus Van Sant directed it. And that's what's coming to theaters next week, a holiday week, and therefore Wednesday, November 26th. This week's movie review is Quantum of Solace. It's rated PG-13 for intense sequences of violence and action, and some sexual content. It stars Daniel Craig, Olga Kurylenko, Judi Dench, Matthew Amalric, Giancarlo Giannini, and Gemma Arterton. While interrogating a prisoner, 007 and M learn of an organization so secret that even MI6 hasn't known of its existence until now. And, as the man says, they have operatives everywhere. In the aftermath of this revelation, Bond travels to Bolivia, where a supposedly environmentalist businessman is aiding in the collapse of the reigning government. Together with a woman named Camille, Bond must try to bring down this businessman, who is somehow tied to the secret organization mentioned earlier. Can 007 perform his job without letting his personal feelings get in the way? Or will Bond cross the line and lose M's trust forever? Picking up almost immediately following the events of Casino Royale, this film represents the first direct James Bond sequel. There have been characters and elements that have carried over before, but this is the first time that two consecutive movies have tied together so heavily. So much so, in fact, that I managed to get myself lost in the first 15 or 20 minutes. In part because of the tie-in, but also because I'm just dense sometimes. No comments from the peanut gallery, please. It was only after I backtracked events in my mind after the movie that I was able to realize the logic used in the movie's setup. As this is Bond, James Bond, the stunts and action sequences are high octane and full speed ahead. Unfortunately, the hand-to-hand stuff is also high shaky cam and the chase sequences are full speed cuts ahead. Both of which make me want to fire camera people and editors. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this, but shaky cam is not my friend. Daniel Craig continues to impress as our tuxedoed hero with his understated dialogue and brutal fighting style. He's suave and charming and looks equally at home when being diplomatic as when taking swings at some bad guy or another. Olga Kurylenko, who has previously appeared in Hitman and Max Payne, finally got her day in the spotlight. In these other two movies, she was the weak woman who needed the hero of the story to protect her. In fact, she died rather quickly in the latter. Here in Quantum, however, Olga gets to kick all kinds of butt, even getting in a few good punches on Bond himself before they inevitably team up to defeat their common enemy. This is the third time I've been completely satisfied by a so-called Bond babe, the other two of which were in Brosnan's run. Sorry, Wendigo. Famke Janssen as Onatopp in GoldenEye, and Halle Berry as Jinx in Die Another Day. If she can kick butt, let her! I'm just really glad that they didn't hold Olga back like they did Michelle Yeoh in Tomorrow Never Dies. because seriously, I was disappointed that Michelle Yeoh didn't get to kick butt as much as I know she can. One thing I've noticed about the Bond movies is that since Judi Dench took over the role of M in 1995, M takes a more involved role in many of the movies. The trend continues for this one, and the story is all the more enriched for it. Dench and Craig are great together, especially with the early on bit that the reboot has hinted at. Can I trust you? I don't know if I can trust you. And then, of course, she's there, and it's good stuff. The villain of this movie is not one of those over-the-top blatant, I will take over the world type villains, but he also isn't as sadistic and menacing as Robert Davi is in License to Kill. In many ways, the villain of Quantum of Solace is almost likable. He's definitely charismatic. At least, the face he shows his adoring public. He kind of reminded me of Steve Buscemi in a way. He's got that quality where you can see him being on the outside of the law, but he also seems out of place in the global domination game. Because even though I said he's not a blatant take-over-the-world person, that doesn't mean he's not trying to. He's a good villain, but I doubt he's ever going to be my favorite Bond villain. As for that secret organization, so secret that M didn't even know one was in her inner circle, well, I'm going to let you watch the movie to see how that one plays out. For now, I'm only going to say that I expect we're going to be hearing more from them in future Bond installments. On a scale of 1 to 100, I rated Quantum of Solace 92. What can I say? In spite of a few of my early misgivings and in spite of my shaky cam rapid cut issues, it's Bond! Bond rocks. He always has, and until Kevin Costner gets the role, he always will. And yes, Bond will return. Episode 59 of Flickabrack saw a two-part discussion on an annual November festival of words called National Novel Writing Month. And even though there are still 8 whole days in which to finish your 50,000-word novel, this week we'll find another annual event. Wrapping up the RIMO. For you people who have done NaNoWriMo for the first time this year, how well has NaNoWriMo met your expectations? Is it easier? Harder? For you veterans out there, how has this year been different from years past? Plus, hopefully we're going to hear some excerpts from this year's word flurries, and a few other questions thrown in just for giggles. Call in to voice your opinion on this topic, 724-444-7444, call ID 35274, or if you're an after-the-fact listener via download, call the listener line at 206-350-2310, keeping in mind that standard calling rates will apply. First and foremost, not like you really need it at this point, but I'm popping in the National Novel Writing Month official website, NaNoWriMo.org. There you can find all the pretty details on what NaNoWriMo is about, what the official rules are, and you will find out this little tidbit of information. As of right now, this second, at 9:38 p.m. Eastern Time, there have been 1,017,816,556 collective words written for NaNoWriMo 2008. As Squidlord says in the chat room, that's a lot of honking words. NaNoWriMo participants! Really quick, how many of those words belong to you? Wendigo has 30,532. Terry, who has requested to talk, says...
I am at 37,401 words.
Where is that cheer file I used to have up here? That is awesome.
Thank you.
Chris says he has around 20,000. And his goal is still 30,000. And Yodi hath bailed this time around? I are sad-like now. And one of our other listener participant people also sent in an email describing her current progress. The email is from Infinity Nevermore. Hi, Finny. You know what? I'm going to be nice. You are awesome. Finny says, just in case I am absent or otherwise indisposed, there's a good chance of it. I wanted to drop a line talking about my NaNoWriMo experiences up to this point. I have written about the first 50 words or so of the last chapter of my novel. The last time I counted, I was up to 43,947 words. Wow. It's so exciting. I have always loved writing, but thought that short stories were my creative limit. To see that I have written almost 50,000 words is absolutely breathtaking. My friends on Twitter and Plurk have heard the highs and lows of my noveling experience, but it's been great. Even the word war helped some. That would be the Maryland Crab versus the Austin and Houston Lushquins. And Austin and Houston are winning. Hee hee. Sorry. All in all, I think it's something that everyone should try once. Of course, that might be the euphoria talking, but I'd like to think I've said something profound. My hat's off to all participants in NaNoWriMo 10, and I'm hoping to see a huge number of winners, including our own family of participants, when I get back from my upcoming vacation. I don't have the words, Finny. You are just kicking all kinds of butt. Congratulations. You are going to reach the finish line. There's no doubt about that. And the fact that it looks like you're also going to finish your novel is just a remarkable achievement, and you should be very proud of yourself. You totally rock. Great job, Finny, and thank you so much for writing that in, because I would have hated that not being on this show. That is just incredible. Hi, Finny!
Hi, Flick.
In your email, you said that your word count was nearly 44,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, has that changed since you sent me that email?
It has not, because I sent you that Friday afternoon / night, right after that I went to bed. Next morning I got up, went out, and I just got back.
Ah, okay. Congratulations on that oh my god amazing word count. Yours is the highest word count of any of our folks here so far. That includes the guy that's been doing it for 6 years.
Well, that's partially for two reasons. One reason is because of this whole word war thing that I'm part of, and the other reason is because I actually have an earlier date I need to finish than everybody else. Everybody else needs to finish by the 30th. I need to finish by the 25th, because the 26th, I'm leaving on vacation, and I won't get back until the night of the 30th. I need to get my 50,000 words by Tuesday.
And you won't have any internet access at all?
Nope.
Wow.
That's one reason I've been more or less writing my butt off for the past 21 days? 22. There we go.
Well, let's see. Let's do the math then. You're having to do 2,000 words a day, and at the end of writing today, you need to have 44,000. So you're pretty much on track for where you need to be, what you need to do.
Awesome.
Rock on.
I haven't really been keeping track. All I know is I need to write.
That's actually probably the best way to do it. I'm an accountant, so I kind of have to crunch numbers from time to time.
I understand.
As I think I have mentioned once or thrice before, I myself am not doing NaNoWriMo this year, and I kind of miss it. I even had a brief moment on Wednesday, was it? Maybe it was Thursday. Just a little tiny nugget of a thought as I was reading an email from our municipal liaison, because I'm still getting those emails, and going, wow, I've got 10 days. All I have to do is write 5,000 words a day, and I could actually throw my NaNoWriMo hat into the ring this year. Luckily, I got over it very quickly.
That's not good.
It's not good that I got over it? Does it have something to do with Jigsaw's voicemail from a few weeks back?
I believe so. Just an idea, maybe a theory.
Considering the fact that I was starting to get all kind of sick to my stomach earlier today, I think the poison is actually working. There's nothing in the apartment that should make me feel that ill, and I was starting to feel ill. Of course, it might have also had to do with the liquid plumber that I had just dumped down the drain and the fumes rushing into my eyes. Maybe.
That's not good.
As you can hear, I've got Wendigo on the line, and we've still got Terry on the line. How are you both doing? I mean, you've already given us your word counts, but how are you doing? How has NaNoWriMo been compared to your expectations for the year?
Okay. For me, it's been a lot easier to keep up with the word count than I thought it would be. I thought that I would struggle with it. 50,000 words is a lot, but really, I mean, it's probably a little over an hour out of my day to do. It's been one of my main goals for NaNoWriMo this year, because this is my first year doing it, is that I wanted to get back into the habit of writing every day. That's been my main goal, and then the second goal is to reach the 50,000. So I'm happy because I'm on track to do both.
That is very good. And Wendigo?
Well, this year's been kind of odd. Years past, I've always been able to say, hey, Yodi, what are you at? How many words you got? And she'd give me a number, and I'd try to beat it, and then I'd give her a number, and then she'd try to beat it, and go back and forth. Now, this year, before it even got started, she just kind of said, I'm bowing out. It's not going to happen. So it's been kind of interesting to give you an idea as to when I've been able to write and actually get words down. The last 3 days, I've doubled my word count. Up until Tuesday, I had 15,000 words, and then 30,000 and change. I think had I not taken those 3 days of work off this week, I'd probably be thrown in the towel, or at least crying a lot or something.
I still say you should have written tonight before the show.
Well, my plan was for these 5 days, and I'm off work, including the weekend, was to do 5,000 a day. That would have put me at 40,000 by the time Monday rolled around. I'd get another 5,000 on Thanksgiving because I'm not doing anything. And then I have two other weekends, so that would get me at, two other days of this coming weekend, a week from today, which would have gotten me 55,000 words, you see. So I was like, well, I can afford to miss a day, as our kind of family mock Thanksgiving thing.
Yeah.
So I got home, and I was just like, you know what? I think I'm going to take a day off. I think we'll be okay. I'll just have to bust my butt tomorrow and probably write a couple times this week.
Well, I hope that you do bust your butt tomorrow, because I would love for this to be a three-peat for you.
Me too.
I was actually expecting it to be a lot harder than it ended up being, because I guess I expected not to be able to actually do my word count per day, but when I managed to get into my story, it became really, really easy. And some days I could write up to like 5K a day.
Wow.
Well, once I got into my story and I knew what was going on and I knew what I wanted my characters to do, it was really easy. And then there were the days sometimes where I couldn't get more than like 1,000 words on paper before I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, as far as the other aspects of the whole process, like the meetups and whatnot, Yuri and I went to the first kickoff and have not been back to anything since. And my attitude is, drive a half hour away, hang out for 2 hours, drive back, and that's 3 hours of time that could be used in your write. Get out of the wire, so.
And Terry, have you been going to events?
Yes, I have. We have there's a local one here, it's about 10 minutes away, and they meet every Sunday, and then there's one in a neighboring town that I also go to, which is about 20 or so minutes away, so I get 2 write-ins in a week, and they really help. I get my word counts in quite easily, except the last one. Just me and my niece showed up to the last one, and I got into conversations with the ML that was not nano-related, and we just sat and chat mostly.
That'll happen from time to time.
Yes, it was not a productive one. I was hoping, I was like, okay, I want to reach between 35 and 40K, and yeah, I maybe got 100 words in.
Wow.
Didn't happen.
I wish I could have, but I was unable to for various reasons.
Have there been any special events going on beyond just the typical write-in? And let me define special. For example, here in Austin, for the past let's see, this is the third year they've done it. They've had a 12-hour lockdown, an overnight thing. You go in at 7 p.m., you write, and they don't let you out until 7 a.m. unless, you know, you actually have to leave. You know, there are some people that don't stay for the whole thing. It'll happen. Has there been anything like that at all?
Not for our area. The only extra thing we had here was we just had a non-nano day where we met up at a pizza place and we just got to know each other better outside the NaNoWriMo write-ins.
And that's a special event.
As far as I know, I don't think we've had anything like that. I've been checking the forums pretty regularly.
Okay.
I'm going to say no.
That actually leads me into the next question. Do you go to the forums at all and partake in any of the shiny there?
I've actually visited the forums very little because I'm usually more caught up in my writing than anything. I actually have only been visiting the site in the month to check out the Q&A to update my word count and if it's interesting enough to check out the procrastination station. And every once in a while, like once a week, I'll check into my regional forum. But other than that, I haven't been going to the site much at all.
I've posted twice in my own region. I've read some of the main forums, and I do get the emails for the local region, but by the time I actually get around to posting, it's been a few days, and so then I just forget it, and I just keep writing.
Yeah, I've been same kind of thing, getting the local forum. The main forum I looked at, probably my first 2 years I was doing it, and after that, it was just kind of like, eh, whatever. I'll just stick to the local, because I get too distracted. And that's not good for writing.
Any of you NaNoWriMo participants who are on the phone, you can hit request to talk at any time. And if you happen to be on the phone, but not near your computer or even on the computer, *8 on your touchtone phone will put you in the request to talk queue. Oh! Wow! This is neat! We got a request to talk from Sim Chris, who is the host of the Sims 2 Junkie podcast here at TalkShoe.com. You can find him on the web at sims2junkie.blogspot.com, or just go to call ID 16200. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
You now have to answer all of the questions that I've already asked.
Well, for the events and things, no, I didn't go to any. I'm a loner. Being my first year doing it, I really had no idea what really to expect. As in, my process, it kind of was just on the go. Whatever I ended up doing and what felt right. My first week was really awesome. I got the word count in pretty fast. As I said, I'm going for 30,000 words, so I would write 1,000 words a day. And the first couple days, I would write, up to 2,000 words. So I was really happy. Second week, I pretty much just went to what I needed to. And right now, I've missed a couple days, so I'm a couple thousand off. And next weekend they won't be here, so I'm attempting to catch up before I'm really far behind.
That might be a good idea, which means you would be at 22,000 at the end of today.
In theory.
Should be. Do you ever go to the forums and partake in the shiny?
I don't, mainly because I don't want to get attached to them, because then I will never want to write.
They can be dangerous. Not always, but they can be. Some days I would spend more time on the forum than I would on my novel, but somehow I still manage to get the word count in. It's weird.
You're just special.
You leave my education out of this. We're going to pull in one more person into the conversation, and that will be E.G. Gold. Hello, Mr. E.G. Gold.
Hello, Flick.
You have to answer a question verbally that nobody else had to, although Terry volunteered to for some reason. What's your word count right now?
My word count is 4,000. I have been skipping weeks, and the next 7 days I'm practically going to be not doing anything in speed writing. Well, actually, I have 6 hours of school. After that, I'm going to be speed writing.
What did you ultimately decide that your goal would be?
I ultimately decided 25,000 words in the beginning when I thought I'd wouldn't be lazy and write, but now I'm just praying to even get 20. It'll be an amazing lucky strike.
Nope, you still have to get at least 25.
All right, fine. 25 would be a lucky strike. Sorry.
I know. Be nice to the children, Flick. Did you have any expectations going in at all? Other than the not being lazy thing?
Yeah, I think I had the expectation that by the time I finished my NaNoWriMo, and if I got the 50,000 words, I'd feel like I accomplished something really good. But now that I look back on it, well, not look back on it, look hopefully into it, if I get 20,000 words, I'd consider that an amazing accomplishment because, as I said, I get lazy quickly and stop attention spanning, so my only expectation was basically to get a certain number of words and then tell other people I'm not lazy, I can actually do something for longer than a few hours.
And how about the shiny forums?
I've never been on the shiny forums because I get addicted to forums too quickly.
Ah. Kind of describe a little bit your NaNoWriMo experience so far.
The first day was pretty interesting. It was me starting to type. I guess my experience would be pretty good. It's the only time I've ever sat down and really thought, oh, what do I want to write now? Oh, look, I can't finish that sentence. Oh, I'm just going to add random words here and there. So it's just been a randomness of writing. That's my experience so far.
What made you lazy with this already?
It wasn't me being lazy. Now that I think about it, it was me more. Before I went into NaNoWriMo, I had very little social life. But apparently all my friends decided I'd be fun to hang out with. So all of a sudden, I kept getting friends, code requests, and I like hanging out with my friends a lot. So I just stopped writing and instead was with my friends. And on the school days, I guess I always tried to attempt writing my novel, but other things like talking with Sim Chris and calling other friends was, at some point, I just looked at them and I'm like, oh, what's that? Okay. No, I'm not blaming you, Chris. I'm blaming Skype.
So Skype turns itself on? You don't have control over that at all?
No, actually, I could set my settings to away, but every time I turn on my computer, I just forget to turn it off because it turns on automatically when I turn on my computer.
Yeah, there's a setting for that, you know.
There is?
It's in the options. I'm sure SimChris can walk you through it.
I'm probably going to need a big, lengthy walkthrough. I'm very bad with technology.
I've noticed. Local events. Have you done any?
I was going to go to the New York City's NaNoWriMo, one of their events, but along the way, my brother decided not to drive me, so I couldn't go. So besides that, no.
Okay.
I wanted to go to some events that my teachers were holding, which is kind of weird. I was actually kind of freaked out that my teachers were all holding a NaNoWriMo event, and I was the only student who knew what that was. But I thought it'd be kind of weird if a little kid went, a student went into a teacher's NaNoWriMo thing, so.
Why would that be weird? I mean,
it's all the teachers hate me. Because every time they try to teach me something, I already knew it, so it's like... No.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yes, I'm one of the annoying kids.
Don't say it, Flick. Don't say it, Flick. Don't say it, Flick. Okay.
You can say it. You can say it. I'll let you say it.
Okay, we're back to questions for everybody. Will you attend a TGIO party? That stands for Thank Goodness It's Over.
Yes. Ours is scheduled, and I plan to be there.
When's yours?
I don't know the exact day. It's sometime the first week of December.
Okay.
I am going to try. It really depends on where it is, because I need to see if I can get there. But if there is one that's local enough for me to try to get down there, I will definitely be going. Either that or I'll be going to IHOP with all my friends. I really want pancakes.
That's fun, too.
Yeah, I probably will not. Because it wouldn't be the same without my Yodi.
Well, you can take your Yodi.
It just wouldn't be the same. Oh, I don't know. Probably not. They've seen me for the first time in 6 years. I'll wait another 6 years and show up at something.
That makes me sad.
Don't be sad. It's okay.
Well, my party will consist of myself, a long sigh, and throwing the files into folders far away, hidden from everywhere else.
My party's going to be, actually, my friends decided to plan a fail party for me because they knew I could never do it. So apparently, on December 1st, I'm supposed to go over to my friend's house, and they're holding a big party, which is going to have a banner, you couldn't complete NaNoWriMo. And then I was supposed to surprise them by saying I did.
Well, it's not too late to do that. You just have to plant your butt in your chair and write.
Starting Monday.
No, starting as soon as this show is over.
I can't start because then I have to go to sleep.
Sleep in December.
Fine.
You're not getting into the spirit of this, EG.
Sorry, I'll get pepped up later in the show, okay?
Oh, just... Lord.
Sorry. I'll go to a pep rally for NaNoWriMo.
Which of you participants have been listening to RIMO Radio?
What?
That answered that for
you. I downloaded it, but I have not listened to... I think I listened to the first one, but I haven't been listening when they've been releasing them. But I have been downloading.
Yes, I have, and it's been definitely keeping me entertained. It's very interesting to see how people all over the country and even the world are participating in NaNoWriMo, how they're doing it. And the episode about singles was very, very funny.
Oh, my gosh. I was listening to that and going, that is so not the point of NaNoWriMo. I did not go to any of the stuff going, I'm going to try to pick up chicks. Ooh. I was just like, hey, how's it going? You're single? Who cares? What are you writing? You know?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, actually, it seems like more of a random question to the people that she asked, because a couple of them were like, oh. People were trying to do that. I found that interesting in itself. So it seemed that they were more or less like putting that question out there kind of randomly to people.
I've also been downloading them. I haven't listened. I listened to the ad last year, actually. But I haven't really been avoiding podcasts lately.
My advice for NaNoWriMo participants is if you need that added pep boost, listening to people who are doing NaNoWriMo, listening to their woes and their triumphs, their tribulations, the things that they're going through, is helpful. Now, in the organized manner that they do it, it's not the same as commiserating. But I don't know, there's just something... They did it differently this year. In years past, they've released it once weekly, and now they're releasing it 3 times a week in shorter bursts. Which I think is an interesting way of doing it.
I do like how they have people share their ideas about it. I think it was last year they were talking about the point in the story of which everything changed. And I listened to that, and it gave me a lot of ideas. So I'll definitely have to listen to the recent ones.
Squidlord in the chat room had said that he listened to a bit of it, but it seemed of little value. And Brooke actually gave my rebuttal. Maybe it would be more value if you were participating. I'm not getting as much out of it this year as I have in years past because I'm not participating. In years past, you know, RIMO Radio would make me go, ooh, I'm eager to get to my novel again. Where, you know, this year it's like, huh, glad I don't have to deal with that. Because they're talking about the week two wall and how people get through the week two slump or the sophomore slump.
One of the things I find funny because week two was my best week. That was where it just... I felt the story was flowing, and this week, though, I'm struggling. I mean, I still get my word count in, but my word count seems to go slower as I go through different parts of my book than it did through the second week.
I didn't hit that sophomore slump until my third year, and that was because I was hating everything. I was like, I hate this story. I hate these characters. I want them all to die. And when week two came around, I'm going, why am I even bothering? This is stupid. This is painful to write.
My slump kind of came in, like, probably the third or fourth day. Because I started writing, I was really into it, then I just did not like my characters at all. So I pretty much changed them completely and continued. And that's when I really got into the story and enjoyed writing rather than it making it seem more of a chore.
I never actually had the slump because I did write a few days in the first week and then a few days in the second week, so I'm just going to, for conversation's sake, and count them as 2 weeks. I never hit the slump, but every time I had to stop a story, what I did is I just started a new story. Maybe I did hit a slump, and that's why I had to start a new story.
Has anybody sent in anything for RIMO Radio since you're not listening and don't know what to send in?
Nope.
I know, seems like a stupid question, but still.
Negatory.
Nope.
We're bad RIMO participants.
You are naughty. You must be punished.
Ooh.
I'm going to get you later, big boy.
Ooh. Ooh.
Who brought me an excerpt for you to read?
I can find one.
But it will require a content warning.
I was afraid you were going to do that.
Just language.
Okay. I know I don't usually do this in the middle of the show, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually mute everyone. And those of you with excerpitates, hit request to talk, and I'll take you in order. Okay? Haha. The mute wall goes now. We are going to do some excerpitate reading from NaNoWriMo 2008 novels. First up, Infinity Nevermore. What is your novel about? I'm asking this question mainly because I have found, both through my own personal experience and through actually last year's NaNo episodes, that where you start off at the beginning of the month with your plan is often not where you end up toward the end of the month.
Yeah, my novel has changed in quite a few ways from the beginning. At the beginning, I said it was about this crazy guy trying to train his daughter to become the next ruler, and it's kind of hard for her to do it because she's not old enough, so she met some guy and they were going to try to get rid of him. Well, apparently, they had different plans. Apparently, they've tried to run away. Her mother's been coming back as a ghost. Her mother eventually possessed her and killed the girl's grandfather. Right now, they're wards of the state, and I have absolutely no idea how I'm going to get them back home. Because the original plan was to get them back home. I don't think it's going to happen now.
Wow, that kind of majorly changed from where you seemed to be starting off.
Oh, most definitely.
There was no mention of the grandfather dying.
Yeah, there wasn't. He wasn't supposed to die, but yeah, on Friday he officially died.
Wow. Rock on.
Oh, now I really want to do an episode.
All right, what you are about to hear is copyright 2008 Infinity Nevermore, used with permission. One would assume, since you're reading it on my podcast.
Definitely used with permission. All right. Nevermore said in front of him, "Can you hold the book, Grandfather? This is heavy. I can't hold it and hold your hand at the same time." The older man sighed impatiently and snatched the book from her hand. He sat on his lap with the words facing Mendora. She took her grandfather's hand between both of her small ones. She at least did not want to get the spell wrong. He would be really angry if she messed up the spell. For that, she tried to remember how the old ones sounded when they performed incantations. Maybe that would help. She moved one hand to the book, and her mouth opened. She began to chant slowly in a low, soft voice. A bluish-white light began to encase the girl, her hands becoming the brightest. As the spell progressed, she began to speed up the chanting, not of her own volition. The light encasing her hands had become too bright to look at, but Minora never even flinched, nor took her eyes from the page in front of her. Celine stood away, complaining, "It's too bright." Xanadon sat with his eyes closed and a soft smile on his face, hoping against hope that the temporary lock on their powers that the move had made permanent would be broken. Minora was now making less sense, her tempo and pitch having reached its crescendo. Celine covered her eyes. Xanadon sucked in a hesitant breath. The shimmering body of light seemed to move from the spellbook to Mendora to Xanadon. And as the last syllable was uttered, Xanadon had become the one that seemed to glow. It then so slowly faded, seemingly into his skin, and he sighed. Celine had deemed the situation safe enough to be good. Mendora seemed to be in a trance. Slowly, Xanadon rested his other hand on top of hers and spoke softly, trying to make sure she was not startled. "Mendora, it is over." She seemed to recover herself with a slight delay to her actions, like a jerking movie. She let go of her grandfather's hands and backed up a few steps. The distance appeared to revive her fully. "Did it work?" she said with her normal voice. "Well, there's one way to find out." He pointed to a candle on the coffee table in front of him and concentrated. After a moment, a wisp of smoke rose from the wick, and in the next instant it was aflame. "It worked," he smiled. "You have done well, Mendora. I am pleased."
Ooh. So, when are we going to expect this one on bookshelves, did you say?
I didn't really even think about publishing it. It was funny. I was thinking about publishing it, like, when did we talk about this? Like,
the end of October?
Yeah, the end of October. I was thinking about publishing it then, but then I got into self-deprecating mode, and I'm like, this is like the, one of the worst pieces of tripe I've ever written. What am I even thinking about trying to get this published?
That's not bad. I could see myself buying your book and putting it on my bookshelf and never reading it because I never read anything these days, it seems.
Oh, that's too bad.
But I would definitely download it from audible.com and listen to it.
Awesome. Hey, it gets someone experiences it somehow. Works for me.
Thanks for that, Finny, by the way.
Sure, no problem.
We have E.G. Gold. What you are about to hear is copyright 2008 E.G. Gold, used with permission.
This is a very short chapter. I think the best thing I have. I could have done two other chapters, but this one I think is the one I'm going to continue with. Why can't I write anything good, screamed Jack. Being already on the verge of a hissy fit, Jack threw the next attempt at a story down into the trash can. Jack was normally a calm and relaxed fellow with little or no reason for anger, until tonight. Tomorrow was Jack's meeting with his publicist, and if he didn't have anything good to show, he would be fired. Jack has 10 great New York best-selling novels, each one lasting on the bestsellers list for over a year. Because of his great novels, Jack is now considered one of the best writers on the planet. His series, The Adventures of a Monkey, sold so well that he was prompted to write another book. Now, 10 years later, his 11th attempt was not going so well. Jack was trying very hard to make it a mature book, but every time he got to the third sentence, it seemed to turn into another monkey story. After failing 3 times, he decided to go to sleep and wing it the next morning, like all writers do. That's the end.
Rockin'.
I said it was very short, so.
Yes, you did.
I'm really sorry, I would have a longer one, but I didn't have enough time to make it good. I could give you the one that's not edited, but it would be kind of weird.
Well, you're not really supposed to be editing. This is NaNoWriMo. It's still November. You don't edit till after November.
I'm sorry. If you want, I can continue, but... Or would you rather let someone with a better story continue? Your choice.
We have an E.G. Gold fail because he's editing, and it's still November.
I'm sorry. I can continue with one more paragraph, but it's going to be confusing. So continuing from where I left off. Jack woke up at 9:30 promptly. He then got out of his ultra-modern black IKEA bed and went to a spacious IKEA shower. I have no idea why I made it all IKEA, but never mind. Turning on the water to max out, he thought to himself what story he would do. He decided that he would go with whatever came to his mind at that exact second in the publicist's office. It was this not planning until the last minute that had gotten him so many awards and money. It was unbelievable how someone so stupid could have become so famous. But trying to be early for once, he got out of his shower and went to his walk-in closet and tried figuring out what he was going to wear. To his left stood 50 shirts. Each one was a button long sleeve shirt. They were pink, beige, aqua red, light red, I wrote red twice, green, and many other colors of shirts on his left. And on his left were all black pants. Thinking he would go normal, he put on a white collar shirt and black pants and a black jacket. After he went out of the closet, he went to his other closet, his shoe closet. Yes, Jack Rachel was so rich that he had a separate closet just for his shoes. How amazing is that? He went in and chose a penny loafer shoe, I think. That's what I wrote. After a long 5-minute walk, he was out the door, on the elevator, and then standing right next to his Porsche. Oh, how it's great to be me, thought Jack so happily. With a quick turn of the ignition, Jack went on his merry way, not understanding that today was not a normal day.
Huh. Well, thank you very much for reading that for us. What exactly is your story about? I know that you had different ideas going in that you hadn't quite decided on. What ultimately did you finally decide on that your story would be about?
First, I wanted, as I said in the weeks ago on the podcast, that I wanted to do a story about a school life with the main characters being boy and girl. That did not work out so well, so then I tried still keeping that story, tried pulling like an emotional string story with this really poor slum kid who lives in the worst town on the planet, but I got so bored that I made a nuclear bomb happen and they all died. I guess now what my story is going is that basically these three different the two different stories were Jack the writer's attempts at creating his 11th novel, but the weird thing is that now somehow, some way, all his novels are coming to life and they're trying to kill him for some weird reason.
Are you sure you didn't steal my 2006 novel?
Look, I didn't know you in 2006, and I was not there for that. And if I am, that's a very bad coincidence. Very bad.
My book in 2006 wasn't so much that all of his books came to life and tried to kill him. It was that he was writing stories that it turned out that what he was really doing was he was getting into the mind of a serial killer. And everything that he was writing was actually happening.
Oh, God. It's like a darker version of, what's that movie called? Just a book about how the writer is writing the story of some guy's life.
You mean Stranger Than Fiction?
Yeah. That's just a really darker version of that. It's scary.
It's not quite like The Dark Half, Wendigo, because the serial killer in that movie was actually this other guy's pseudonym. If Stephen King hadn't already written it, I could write that, because I do have a pseudonym. Thank you very much for sharing that, E.G. Gold. I'm glad that you are having fun with NaNoWriMo, at least you better be, because if you're not, then I'll cry.
Please don't cry, Flick. It won't be good for your reputation.
Why not? I always cry like a little girl. We're going to move on to Mr. Wendigo.
Hello.
What you're about to hear is copyright 2008, Mr. Wendigo. And I've been told that what you are about to hear may not be suitable for all audiences, and listener discretion is advised.
I should have that warning announced whenever I speak, but yeah, this definitely fits.
Yeah, well, you and Squidlord both.
Well, let me, if you don't mind me setting it up first here, just kind of like, so you're not just thrust into the...
Okay, what is your novel about?
My little novel has nothing to do with what I have on my NaNoWriMo page. It is not the saga of Caribou Barbie. I usually do that with NaNoWriMo. I come up with the most farcical title and subject and even theme just to throw people off. I always end up in horror thriller, though, just because we need the words. But really what it's about, the main, our protagonist, a young man who lives in Louisiana, not far from New Orleans, notices he has a strange control over dead things, meaning he can kind of bring them back to some semblance of life. And he hasn't quite figured out why or how. He's still in the, oh, this is cool phase. Meanwhile, the government is running some tests on, well, let's just say it, zombies, and they're going to cross paths. And the impetus for the crossing paths will, of course, be the only logical conclusion. No, not FEMA, but a biker gang. As I alluded to a couple of weeks ago, Yodi and myself were going to be writing this, and she was going to write the biker perspective, and I was writing the kid's perspective. It's kind of all falling on my shoulder now, but here we go. So whenever you're ready, I'll read what I got.
Fire away.
The twin Triumphs rolled into the parking lot of the convenience store and fell silent as the owners dismounted and unstrapped their helmets. The taller of the two towered over the other, a mass of black hair falling onto his shoulders as he lifted the helmet off of his head. A pair of spiraling ram's horns peeked out from between the mop of fur on his head, and a gnarled hand wiped the hair back over the protruding extremities. Two red eyes peered around his bulbous nose as he glared at his partner.
Oberon's tits, Colin. I want her to fuck him up. That bitch cut us off at that light. Nobody pulls that with a solar cross.
A flurry of backhands lathered across his cheeks, giving the illusion of large man was blushing and not merely beaten. Roderick, shut up and listen. If it weren't for me, we'd probably still be talking to some hillbilly cop about running the red light back there. The smaller biker slid off his helmet, shaking his head as a mane of blonde hair cascaded over his shoulders, shining like molten silver under the light of the full moon. Ice blue eyes twinkled at the larger figure, and a cold smile crept across the prettier one's face.
What's with a stupid grin? You don't want to kick your ass later for slapping me like that, you fairy f**k.
The burlier of the two crossed his massive arms over his chest, the leather straining at the sheer bulk of the man. Rod, let me ask you something. Did you feel anything strange when we got close to that Jetta? The bigger man shook his head. I did. One of the occupants of that vehicle was something more than human.
Sealy, maybe?
The shorter man shook his head. No, if it were one of those bastards, we'd have slaughtered them in the street. The pretty one unsnapped one of the saddlebags on his bike and pulled out a map. He plucked a hair from his head and whispered in a strange yet beautifully haunting language and watched as the hair floated onto the map, then formed an arrow that pointed at a city called Metairie. Ah, oh, f*** me sideways. Colin winced as he heard a zipper from his partner's direction. He turned slowly to see him with his hand in his pocket.
Sorry, these jeans are way too tight. The zipper keeps going down whenever I go for a Snickers.
The ogre spiker unwrapped a candy bar and bit it in half, chewing on the confectionery as he let out a low moan.
Oh, nougat's the bro.
Hey, numbnuts, look where we are on the map. Rod peered at the map as he finished his chocolatey snack.
Right, we're in Metairie, which is just outside of New Orleans. What's the big deal?
What is New Orleans famous for, besides Mardi Gras, jazz, and great food? The small man crossed his arms and tapped his boot, waiting for a reaction.
Oh, shit, voodoo.
The large man plucked a chunk of chocolate out of his beard, then popped it into his mouth.
You don't think that one of the monkeys in the car was a hungoon or something, do you?
Colin shook his head. No, I'd have barely felt it if it were a simple priest or priestess. This was more like a kick to the stones, my brother.
So what are we talking, an Orisha or an Orison? You know where they are, Colin.
Roderick blew some hair out of his face as he waited for an answer. Loas Rod, Santurians call on the Orishas, but the Hungoons pay respect to the Loas. And yes, I think we're dealing with something along those lines. The trollish biker tore open a saddlebag on his bike and shoveled a handful of Snickers and bars into his maw, crunching them loudly as his partner rolled his eyes.
I'm guessing we should tell the rest of the club, huh?
The slender biker's hand, striking the back of his hand, was an answer enough. Not until we have more information as to what we're dealing with here. The last thing we need is to drive an entire town mad over nothing. Remember what happened in Scottsdale? The large man groaned and nodded. Yes, that was bad. We lucked out that time, but I doubt we can get half the town of Metairie to drop acid or E, so we can't tread that road again. A bony finger tapped his forehead, drumming out a little ditty before snapping. Got it. He slid his helmet back on and straddled the seat of his motorcycle. Let's go, Ron.
I need to get some more candy bars. Give me a minute.
The shorter biker snorted as the burly one shambled into the store, grabbed a display rack, and ran outside, dumping several dozen candy bars into the saddlebag. The clerk ran outside after Rod, waving a baseball bat. Tossing the empty display case aside, the large biker lowered his head and pulled back his hair, exposing his osseous imperfections as his eyes glowed a deep cherry red in the darkness. He sucked air deep into his lungs, then let out a furious bellow. The hair on the clerk's head waved in the breeze before he fell to his knees, sobbing like a child. Roderick looked at his partner and winked.
Okay, maybe it was 2 minutes.
He strapped on his helmet as his friend revved his engine and they tore out of the parking lot, heading towards the University of Louisiana at Metairie.
Wow. So when this book goes into stores everywhere, are you going to autograph me a copy?
Yeah, of course. I doubt it will ever see the light of day.
That's a shame.
Thanks, man. It's a crazy little story.
Dev wants the video game.
Oh, yeah, you're just two bikers riding around Louisiana causing trouble. With, you know, zombies and non-human things. That'd be cool.
Is the other human in the Jetta who I think the other human in the Jetta is?
Yeah, the other human in the Jetta, that was the kid.
That's what I thought.
Kid and his mother. Yeah, totally random how they just kind of met. It's great being God.
But that was very good, Wendigo. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, no problem.
And last up, we have an excerpt from Sim Chris.
That's me. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
I hope so.
What is your novel about?
Basically, it is a generic, oh my gosh, bad natural disaster event kind of thing. Basically, they're all living in a big city. It's really raining hard. People are stuck in their houses. Food goes low. That all fun stuff. People are attacking each other. All the good, exciting things. It is pretty different from what I normally write, so I enjoy writing.
What do you normally write?
You know, I really don't write that much, but when I do, it's not normally, I want to say, kind of epic scale that this is. It's usually more of just a couple characters rather than this is a large group of people.
Oh, okay. What you are about to hear is copyright 2008 Sim Chris.
Craig sighed and opened up the rusty old mailbox outside of his apartment. Today was surprisingly cold for July. He could see his breath slowly swirl around his mouth. He rubbed his hands together in a pathetic attempt to keep himself warm as he looked at the empty box. He sighed yet again when he noticed his neighbor, Mary. He still remembers the day when he first met her. It was December of 1998, and Craig moved into this old, run-down apartment block. There were cockroaches everywhere, spider webs along the corners of the walls, cracks in the ceilings of each room, and water leaking through the pipes that ran underneath every rotting floorboard. Craig was just about to leave and never come back when the young woman stepped out of the neighboring apartment and smiled directly at him. The new neighbor shook Craig's hand and introduced herself as Mary. After long hours of debating in her plush apartment, which didn't have the roaches everywhere, the spider webs along the walls, the paint was bright and colorful. The cracks were not seen along the ceilings. Instead, it was neatly decorated with fine furniture. The walls were covered with amazingly simplistic, elegant wallpaper and paint. The lights were hanging everywhere along the ceilings to give the feeling of light and bouncy in the room. And that was, I think, a little bit further into the book. And it isn't that much because a lot of what I wrote really is kind of random. So I didn't want to kind of bore everyone. I did have another small one further along in the book, but I'll go ahead and read it.
Okay.
Craig grabbed a towel out of the nearby linen closet and dried his soaking wet hair. After a quick wash of the face, he was back inside of his living room. Then he saw him, drenched, dripping, brightly colored hair, pale white skin covered with makeup, his bright red nose. This man, sitting in the corner of the apartment living room, was, at least what Craig thought he was, a clown. This clown, who was sitting in the corner of the apartment living room, looked up at Craig as if he had done nothing wrong, as if this was in fact his home. "Who are you?" Craig finally managed to say. "Oh, me?" the man said, looking around. "Well, of course you. Who else is in this room for me to be talking to?" "Well, you could be talking to yourself," the clown coolly replied. "Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Clown, but you're not allowed in my home," Craig ordered. "Firstly, I prefer to be called Bobo, or Mr. Bobo." The clown stood up with his hand extended, ready to shake Craig's. Craig noticed something on Bobo's hand. Was that peanut butter? Craig thought. The clown man noticed the now very angry apartment owner staring at his peanut butter-coated hand. "I really like peanut butter," the clown said, answering Craig's question. "Why are you in my apartment with peanut butter all over your hands?" Craig shouted back at him. "I already told you, I really like peanut butter. I don't go anywhere without it," Bobo said, pulling out a small jar from his pocket. Inside was a creamy, orange-yellow paste. "Don't ask for any jam. I traded with Ed down the road last week for a piece of stale bread." "Look, Mr. Clown, Bobo." "Right, Bobo. Whatever you want to do with your clown friends, just do so, but not in my apartment. And don't you get that peanut butter all over my floor." And that was my kind of plot ninja that I put in there. And then this clown person became one of the partially main characters. I thought he was a really fun person to add in, almost as comic relief.
I love plot ninjas like that. You throw in a plot ninja and all hell breaks loose.
Exactly.
That was a good excerpt.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm just like, I can't get past the whole, I prefer Bobo. It's like, you're in the middle of someone's apartment and you're correcting them on your name. okay.
I loved writing him because he tends to say things at the completely most inappropriate moments that he tries to make things funny. Well, he doesn't try to be funny. It ends up just being the things he says are completely out of place. Which, for me, is funny.
And thank you for coming on and sharing your excerpt with us. That was just funny. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Next up, we don't have an excerpt from her, but Miss Terry, what was your novel ultimately about?
Mine is about this girl that receives this letter in the mail that basically, she finds out that she's inherited this house from a guy she knew when she used to live in this small town that she's left, and she's tried to forget her past and everything. The story goes along that she goes to find out why he left the house, why he never contacted her, but all of a sudden there's this house, and she has to kind of go back to that town and face the stuff that happened to her. That's about as far as I've got.
Well, that's cool. So your novel didn't really change, but you seem to have fleshed it out a bit. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's more that goes on. It's kind of hard to describe in a short paragraph. I'm working on it, though.
I understand. I mean, that's a good explanation for it.
the story has been in my mind for a couple years, and I haven't really changed what happens. I knew my beginning and my end before I knew what was going to happen in between. It's still that way, although I've come up with some new plots to kind of piece all these little events together so the book flows smoother than what it was in my mind.
That's always a good thing. And are you sure that you don't have an excerpt of it for us?
I don't. I'd have to search to find when I was doing some good writing, because the one thing that I think I've gotten most out of Nano is that you're going to write crap.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way around it. It's going to be crap. And it's like, if I try to reread what I wrote, it's like, oh, my God. I'm using a software. It's called YWriter 4, and you basically can write different scenes. And then those scenes are little text files on their own, and then you can drag and drop them where you want them to go in different chapters. So it makes it really easy to drop stuff where you want it to go. For the most part, for this book, I've been writing out of order, where if something inspires me to write in the middle of the book for that day, then I'm writing that. The next day, I could be writing something towards the beginning of the book, and kind of all over the place. So it's helped me to kind of place those scenes where I want them to go. But I'm trying not to reread what I wrote, because some of it's really bad. It's going to need a lot of editing.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Now I'm bringing back everybody who was in the conversation. Once again, I want to thank all of you for having come on and sharing your excerpts with us and your story plot synopses with us. They all sound really good. Keep at it, because y'all are going to rock. You have 8 days, 50,000 words. Awesome. I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm going to start off with the new people first, which is, I'm going to go from the bottom to the top of my list. E.G. Gold.
Aww.
Would you do NaNoWriMo again?
Definitely.
Chris?
I definitely would. It was a lot of fun.
Terry?
Absolutely. I already have my story idea that I want to do for next year.
Definitely. I had so much fun this year, and I've always loved writing. The fact that I managed to get 50,000 words, well, almost 50,000 words down, it's only made me even more excited to see what I'm going to end up doing next year.
Great. Wendigo, do I even need to ask?
I might take a year off. What are you kidding? No, I'll be doing it again.
I'm taking a year off. Why not you?
I don't know. Yeah, I'll be. Yeah.
This is your sixth year, isn't it?
Yes, sixth year.
Yeah. What has been your favorite part of NaNoWriMo? The part that has made you bang your head against the wall, and the part that has surprised you the most in your own writing?
The part that I liked most about NaNoWriMo was being able to share the experience of writing a novel with so many other people. That was my favorite part, to know that I'm not the only crazy person around here, totally ignoring their family, friends, and social events to write a novel that they may or may not ever publish. The part that made me beat my head against the wall was when I hit my writer's block. And I did it about twice. One time it made me take a vacation for like 3 days. And
ouch.
Of course I came back and I was just like, I can't believe I took a break. I can't afford to take a break now after I see it off the work. That really made me beat my head against the wall. But fortunately, at the time, I had a little bit of a buffer because I was already about 4,000 words ahead of my 2,000 words a day word count, so it wasn't that bad. And I caught up relatively quickly. The part that surprised me the most is that I actually stuck with it. Most of the time, I would be like, 50,000 words, I'm crazy, I can't do this, and I'd like probably just let it go. But the part that surprised me the most is that I managed to stick with it, and this came out, you know? Because I'm looking at my novel now, and it's like, I can't believe I wrote all this. Somebody said it right. When you look at your novel later on, it doesn't look nearly as bad as it possibly did when you were writing it. Because I remember saying at one point that this part of NaNoWriMo, when I look back on it, it's going to make me ill. I'm kind of looking back at those parts, and it's not as much vomit-inducing as I thought it would be.
Really?
Yeah.
I had the opposite experience with my mini-RIMO, the test run that Tanya and I did in September of 2004. I was writing along and just going, oh my god, this is the best thing I've ever written. I am so proud of myself. This is awesome. And all the plot twists are working out perfectly. And then I went back and I read it like in January. I wrote it in September of 2004, reread it in January of 2005, and went, oh my god, this is the worst piece of crap I've ever read.
Well, I have a tendency to be self-deprecating, so it's more normal for me to think it's a piece of crap and then look back and I'm like, okay, this isn't quite so bad. This probably still needs a major rewrite, but it's not quite as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Whereas my 2004 NaNo itself, Jabberwocky 2, I wrote it just going, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm writing. And then I went back and I read it later and was like, man, what kind of drugs were they feeding me at those write-ins? E.G. Gold?
First part that Bane wanted me to bang my head on is every time I have to stop and think, oh, what am I going to do now? Which realized for next year, I have to start planning, and I was foolish to go in this with no planning. My favorite part has to be the fun that you can write total crap, and it can still count. And the thing that surprises me the most is that in one of my attempts, I never knew it until then, but I can write really depressing stuff, and I'm not happy about it at all. Like, extremely depressing stuff.
You're not happy that you can write depressing stuff?
No, because I never thought of myself as someone who could write a mass murder story in like, a couple of seconds. It freaked me out when I wrote it.
That's not depressing.
Well, no, that's the ending when they all die because of the nuclear bomb.
Oh, you poor thing. I love what Wendigo said. Yay, emo. So, Chris, what's been your favorite part of NaNoWriMo?
My favorite part has definitely been just seeing that I can do it, and I can sit down to write a coherent, well, partially coherent story. The part that made me want to whack my head against the wall definitely would be the times that I thought I knew where my story was going to go, but when I tried to write it down, it didn't come out right, and I have to rewrite it just so it would make me feel better. The part that surprised me the most were my characters, because I tried my best to keep them controlled, but they got the mind of their own, and they decided that they wanted to talk for me. And I started writing things for them and about them that I really did not expect at all.
Good stuff. Terry?
My favorite thing about NaNoWriMo has got to be the write-ins and being able to get the enthusiasm and encouragement from the other writers. The word wars, when you're sitting next to somebody trying to get your words in and 5-10 minutes to see how much you can do, those help too. Those are a lot of fun. The most frustrating thing would probably be when the shiny hits. When you want to do something, like, you know, if there's a movie, a game, a book, something else you want to do, and you know you need to get your writing done because it's like 11 o'clock at night, it's almost midnight, and you want to get your word count in for the day, and it's like you have to sit your butt in the chair and make sure you get it done. And those times can be hard. But at the same point, that also brings me to the most surprising thing is just how easy it is to get the 1,667 words in. You just have to sit down, write it out. Don't worry about the editing, which it took me a little bit to get used to that. It's all fun. I really enjoy it, and I'm really glad that I participated this year.
Wendigo?
Yes. Well, let's see. I would say the best part for me is getting back to writing. Just because, I don't know, the last, I'd say, probably 7, 8, maybe even longer years, I usually end up online joining writing groups or doing quizzical writing challenges with friends, you know, from college and doing stuff like that. And this really gets me into the whole groove of writing. The worst part for me is again, the self-editing. I still do it. I can't just... Yeah, I know, it's. I shouldn't be, but... And this is going to sound very elitist and egotistical, but damn it, it's got my name on it. I can't just do a crackdown. I don't know, granted, no one's ever going to see it, but let's say in 100 years someone finds an old hard drive and they go, who is this Wendigo person? Man, he getting rich for crap. And I don't need that to happen. Future generations of little Wendigos could have a bad stigma attached to them.
Wendigo, you are a bad kitty! You must be punished.
I know. I will be punished. It would be awesome. Let's see. Yeah, I think I covered that. Just I get to a point where, especially the last couple of days, where I just sit down, I start writing, and I'll just start type, listening to, you know, music on my iPod. Ha ha! I have an iPod now. and yeah, it's like I'll get to like get through like two albums of like Viking metal. I'll check the word count. I'm like, whoa! I just did like 3,000 words. That's amazing. I could do two more. Yay. And just kick through. But it's fine. And yeah, I'll definitely be doing this next year.
Awesome. All right. Final question for the evening, I hope. What would you like to say to the people who may listen to this episode at some point next year, 2009, and they're thinking about maybe doing NaNoWriMo for the first time in November? What do you want to say to them, E.G. Gold?
Even if you can't write, and you're positive you can't write 50,000 words a month because you can barely type it as it is, just the ability to sit down and put something, anything in your brain and just write it down, it's a great feeling. And if you go your life without even trying it once, it will be a disappointment later on. Because honestly, when you just read something that you know you just spent 30 or 40 minutes slaving over, that sounds like crap. It might be crap, but it's your crap. If that makes any sense.
That is actually great advice. It is your crap. Actually, that's part of my closing.
I saw your closing too.
Yeah, E.G. Gold is a complete plagiarist. Without even having seen anything I have ever written, he's already stealing it all. Jeez! Finny, what would you like to say to the people who might consider doing NaNoWriMo next year?
First thing I would say, try it. Just try it. Even if you're sure that you wouldn't be able to make anywhere near 50,000 words, just try it. If you can do it, it's a great feeling. And if you couldn't, then, you know, at least you tried something, you know? And you were able to get maybe even one word on the paper. It's more than you would have done had you not done NaNoWriMo. And the second thing, when you start to get bugged down, like you think that everything's just stopped and you can't, like, get any more things down on paper, just take a breather, just walk away for an hour or so, come back. You can do it. You can finish it, especially if you started it and you've made it as far as 10, 20, 30, even 40,000 words. You can do it.
Awesome stuff. Sim Chris, what would you say to people who might want to do NaNo next year?
If you don't think that you can make the full-blown 50,000, set yourself a lower goal. If you feel that will help you in the fact that you won't cry because you didn't get 50,000, write anything down. Go with it. Hug it. Embrace it. Don't just stop because you think it's a stupid idea.
Well, I'd have to agree with that, too. Some of the best ideas have had either other people say, oh, no, that's stupid, or the person who had the idea originally say, that's stupid, and it took someone else to go, no, that's genius. Yes, I would love to be able to call someone on the other side of the world. Thanks, Mr. Alexander Graham Bell. I don't have a point. Sorry. Terry, what do you want to say to these people?
I would say absolutely do it. One of the things that appealed to me most about it is taking the one day I'm going to write a story to today I'm going to write my story. Definitely, if it's something you've been thinking about doing, take November to do it. Go to the write-ins, participate as much as you want to, and get that encouragement from the people that are also doing it, and you can make that 50,000. Absolutely possible.
So what I'm hearing from all of you first-timers is that NaNoWriMo is worth doing at least once.
Absolutely.
definitely. It's a great experience. If you don't like it, then you don't have to do it again. But I think you should definitely give it a try, because I didn't think I could do it, and I'm well on my way.
Yeah, pretty true. And also, trying to change what I said earlier, because it's your closing statement.
Oh, please.
Basically, the only other thing that really, even if you know you're not going to get to 50,000 words like everyone, all of us have been saying, it does show you, basically, you can write. Even if you find out later it all was the garbage, the worst thing ever written in history of humanity, you can still show it to people and say, yeah, I can write, ha. Huh? Don't ever think I cannot write or anything like that.
And last but not least, our seasoned veteran, 6-time participant, 2-time, hopefully 3-time winner, Wendigo. What is your sage advice?
Run. Run as fast as you can away from your computer. Do not get sucked in. It will take over your life, and everyone will say, hey, you want to do something? Oh, no, sorry. I'm going to be writing. Are you going to get published? Well, no, I'm just doing this for fun. Well, that seems rather stupid. I mean, shouldn't you at least try to make some money out of it? What is this, a capitalist economy and a whole world? Ah, you suck. And just a little bit of numbs. I'm totally, totally kidding, guys. No, absolutely. Absolutely. The biggest thing I can tell you is if your word count's low, if you miss a couple days, if your story just, for whatever reason, just collapses on itself and you don't feel like you can continue it and, you know, be truthful to yourself or what have you, take it in stride. You've got a good basis for, you know, hey, maybe even next year's, you know, something similar to it, because you can't take what you did last year and do it to this year. But yeah, just, you know, do it. Rock on. Yeah. You'll get that fancy little badge and a nice little certificate. It sounds cheesy, but after slaving over a hot keyboard, it's kind of nice. Plus, if you are in the whole capitalist bend, you've got a nice foundation for something that you might be able to shop around.
Wonderful. E.G. Gold says that you deserve an award for your answer. The run part of it.
Thank you.
Actually, I was going to give him an award just for doing NaNoWriMo so much, but we could also give him another award just for the answer.
And that's pretty much our show. I can't begin to tell you how awesome it is to have this many people on the phone with us sharing a common interest. I think I'm going to cry. No, I'm not. I am going to drop the mute wall on everybody. National Novel Writing Month is a great event. I did it for 4 years. Wendigo has done it for 5, and this is his 6th time. And there is every possibility that I'm going to be throwing my hat back into the nano ring in 2009. I fully support the Office of Letters and Light and their literacy-inspiring endeavors. If you participated in NaNoWriMo and got anything out of it at all, new friends, a fun time, the foundation for a novel that you might shop around, or even just the sheer joy of writing, I urge you to go to NaNoWriMo.org and make a donation if you haven't already done so. Help support these crazy days and nights of literary abandon so that Chris Beatty and his band of insane followers can continue to make November the best month of the year. In the United States, a donation to NaNoWriMo is tax deductible, and different donation levels will score you different goodies. If you don't believe that amazing things have come from NaNoWriMo, just take one look at what you've been writing. That novel that you're looking at would not exist right now if you hadn't taken that chance. If you hadn't said, what the hell, and thrown caution to the wind and written it. Whether it's 100 words or 100,000 words, your novel is one of many, many amazing things because it came from you in November. National Novel Writing Month. We'll see you in 2009.
Hi there, my name is SimChris, but you can just call me Chris. I've seen a lot of things in my Sims travels. The nightlife, chilly winters, struggling businesses, and even a couple of genies. But nothing is as appetizing as a good old helping of Sims 2 conversation over at the Sims 2 Junkie Podcast. Or if I'm on the road, I'll stop by the Sims 2 Junkie Bite Size to snack on some fresh Sims news.
That's going to do it for this NaNoWriMo-related episode of Flickabrac. I want to thank Terry for getting on the phone with us. And special thanks go to EG Gold, Infinity Nevermore, SimChris from the Sims 2 Junkie podcast, call ID 16200, and Wendigo for sharing excerpts as well. I would also like to thank the text chat participants, including the Squidlord from Operation BSU, operationbsu.livejournal.com, Andrea from the Geek is Chic podcast, geekischeek.org, Brooke, my buddy Dev, and Saturday Mornings, although I don't think Saturday Mornings actually said anything this time out. You're just in here as a ninja. Our specific movie talk has been moved up by a week. We will be talking about Whoopi Goldberg and Danny Glover and Oprah Winfrey in The Color Purple. That will be November 29th, 2008, at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And just as a reminder, the reason that the specific movie talk has been moved up a week, there will be no live Flickabrac on December 10th. Or on the 6th, which is its regularly scheduled day. I don't know why I said the 10th. There is absolutely nothing on my piece of paper that says it should be the 10th. There will not be a live Flickabrac on December 6th. I would love to hear from you, whether you're doing NaNoWriMo or you have considered and rejected NaNoWriMo, or you just didn't hear about it in time, although you do still have 8 days, it's possible. You can send an email to flickabrac@gmail.com. That's flickabrac@gmail.com. Please make mention if you would not like me to read your comment here on the show, because otherwise there's a good chance that I'm going to. You can also call me at the voicemail line, 206-350-2310. Standard calling rates will apply, and that line is still open 24 hours a day. We do have show notes and a blog-ish thing. You can find that at flickabrac.com. This live show comes at you Saturday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, or Sunday mornings at 2 o'clock Greenwich Mean Time. TalkShoe.com. The call ID is 35274, or just head on over to tinyurl.com/flickabrac. I'm Darren Blake, and if I were to try NaNoWriMo at this late game, I'd probably end up writing my own death scene. So I'll just see you next week.
Flickabrac thanks the Podsafe Music Network for providing all of the music you have heard in this podcast. Assimilate their music at music.podshow.com.
It wasn't technology fail, it was an ID10T error.
I really like peanut butter.
Run. Run as fast as you can.
Holy crap! I am not doing my job as a podcast pimp.